Our Hebrew Bible lesson comes from one of the least recognized books of the Hebrew Bible, the very last one, right before the New Testament. This is part of the prophecy of Malachi. And I challenge you, as you hear these words, if you are hearing them for the first time from Malachi, if you don't recognize some of the words and some of the sentiment. This is Malachi 3, 1 through 4. You can find it in your pew Bible, in the Hebrew Bible, the first section on page 838. So follow along if you'd like. "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, indeed he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming, and who can stand when he appears? For he is like refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold and silver until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our epistle lesson today comes from Paul's letter to the Philippians. You can find that in the New Testament on page 185. And it's chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. And if you have turned to that page, you would notice that it's titled Paul's Prayer for the Philippians. Hear these words. "I thank my God every time I remember you, constantly praying with joy in every one of my prayers for all of you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I am confident of this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion by the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to think this way about all of you, because you hold me in your heart, for all of you share in God's grace with me, both in my imprisonment and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I long for all of you with the compassion of Jesus Christ. And this is my prayer, that your love may overflow more and more with knowledge and full insight, to help you to determine what is best, so that in the day of Christ you may be pure and blameless, having produced a harvest of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ for the glory and the praise of God." The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Our gospel lesson is actually two. You may have noticed that we didn't have a psalm today. We have so many prophecies in the lectionary today, including two from the Gospel of Luke. So let us turn to that. Luke chapter 1, verses 68 through 79, and we'll follow that with Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. A quick point of context. The speaker in this first reading is actually Zechariah. And if you remember your Bible history, or if you don't, Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest in the temple. His wife Elizabeth was barren. She could not have children, and they desperately wanted to have a son. And so Zechariah went into the temple and prayed to God, and the angel Gabriel, the same angel who showed up to talk to Mary, Gabriel shows up and said, "I promise you, your wife will give birth to a son." And Zechariah said, "No way." At that point, Gabriel said, "Fine, you don't believe me? You are mute. You cannot speak." And it wasn't until Elizabeth gave birth to the boy who would become John the Baptist, that Zechariah's tongue was loosed, They asked his wife, what are you going to name the child? And she said his name will be John. And they couldn't figure that out because generally you named your son the father's name. Why aren't you going to name him Zechariah? And they looked over to Zechariah, and Zechariah asked for a piece of paper, and he wrote, the boy's name is John. And the moment he did that, his tongue was loosed, and he was able to glorify God, and his glory came out like this. This is Luke chapter 1, verse 68 through 79. Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. And that was a proud dad talking about his son, John, who would become John the Baptist. So if you turn with me to two more pages, to page 56, we come to Luke chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. Again, a familiar story. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, and Herod was ruler of Galilee, and his brother Philip ruled the region of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Lysanias ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the region around the Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins, as it is written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah. The voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I got to tell you, time that I would normally have been practicing my sermon this morning, I was out shoveling, so forgive a little rusty presentation. For those of you who come often, if you're members here, you often hear me come up here and tell you stories about my childhood. Well, today is no different. But I want you to know I don't tell these stories because I'm trying to hold myself up, but rather because I think many of us probably share some of the same kind of history. And I know that all of us share the role of human beings trying to be good Christian people. And part of the reason I tell you this story now is because this story took place during the time of Advent, in those expectant weeks leading up to Christmas. Well, when I was a teenager, growing up in central Ohio, I was like a lot of my friends who had paper routes. Every morning, I would deliver some 85 copies of the Columbus Dispatch to the neighborhoods around my house. And so every morning, real early, and often before my alarm would even go off, I would get up groggily out of bed, and I'd stumble down our driveway, and I'd grab that big giant bundle of newspapers and I'd drag it back into our living room. Then I'd lay them down on the floor of the living room, and I had my shoulder bag there, and I would fold each of the papers into a trifold and tuck it in the slot so that I could deliver the papers. Well, as I did this, very quickly my hands got all black from the new ink. And as I folded the front page, I would scan and see the headlines. And because I was looking at that front page so many times, I'd even begin to read a few of the articles. And my impression of that time of reading the newspaper was that it was pretty much all bad news. I read about the Vietnam War. I read about student protests. I read about murders and mayhem throughout the country and poverty and distrust and decadence all over the world. And it got a little frustrating. But each morning I would bundle all of those newspapers up and put them into my bag. I'd put on my wooliest hat and my big winter coat and my winter gloves. I'd strap that bag over my shoulder and I'd trudge out into the snow and I'd deliver those papers. And I figured every morning I probably did several miles going around my different neighborhoods. And I can recall at this time of year that so many of the houses, just like around here, so many of the houses were decorated for Christmas. And some of the folks had either forgot or they just did it on purpose. They left their Christmas lights on all night so I could see them as beacons shining through the cold and dark of central Ohio. Well, I got done with my paper out and I'd trundle back home and I'd come into our living room and I'd peel off all the layers. And it usually took about 30 minutes for my hands and feet to come back to feeling. And I'd look over and there was our Christmas tree shining brightly in the darkness as well. And then I'd carry myself up to bed and sleep for another hour before I had to get up for school. What really sticks in my memory was that incredible dichotomy between the cold, harsh reality of the rest of the world and the warmth and security and vision of my home itself. Now, that story came to mind as I was thinking about these scripture lessons this week. And that might not make much sense to you, but it did. There are so many connections between these stories. I wish we could talk. We talked for probably 2 hours on Thursday night at the Bible study, and we could have gone on for a lot longer. The characters are together. The connections are just amazing. But this morning, I want you to concentrate only on the prophecies of Advent, so many of which we read this morning. Now, when some people read these Advent stories from so many years ago, they seem to believe that the times were very different then as opposed to now. But I believe that just the exact opposite is in fact true, that the people of Bible times experienced life in the world very much the same way that we do today. That's why I brought up this story from my youth and the jarring juxtaposition of the crazy off-kilter world around me and the warmth and security of my home. When we talk about prophecies and prophets, we need to understand that God spoke, and in fact, God now speaks through these people when things are really messed up in the world. Only when the world is in a crazy situation and the people of God have strayed far away from the way of Jesus Christ does God then send a prophet to try to get our attention. A prophetic word is not a feel-good message, but rather it's a wake-up call from God. So when you read a little deeper in the Bible, you'll come to understand that in those times, things were really messed up. That's one of the reasons that Luke describes all the rulers and the leaders of that time so that you understand how really messed up it was at that point in history. But just like when I was a kid delivering papers in Columbus, Ohio, and just like today in 2009, the world is in a crazy situation and many of God's people have strayed away from the way of God's kingdom. And so today, on this second Sunday of Advent, we read these beautiful passages from the book of Malachi and the Gospel according to Luke. Each of these prophecies, from Malachi, from Zechariah, and then from John the Baptist, his son, each of these has three things in common. Each prophecy comes with a vision from God, a promise by God, and a challenge to us. A vision, a promise, and a challenge. Well, because things are so messed up in our world, God sends us a prophet with a vision of what life can be like in the kingdom of God. God's vision includes all of the best things that you can think of about Advent and Christmas. All of our best memories of how good life can be. You know, those Hallmark and Norman Rockwell moments. That's what it can be like. Think about all those impressions, the images that you have from Isaiah in Handel's Messiah. Think about all the parables that Jesus told that begin with the line, "The kingdom of heaven is like dot, dot, dot." Think about your fullest understanding of the kingdom of God. Think about Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s vision or that of Mahatma Gandhi. Think about shalom, peace with justice. Those things in total make up God's vision for us. A prophecy also always comes with a promise by God. No matter what happens on this earth, wars, poverty, homelessness, disease, pestilence, hatred, evil, racism, no matter what happens on this earth, for all people of all times, God will be faithful to God's people. God will be faithful to you. God will be faithful to me. God always makes good on God's promises. If you don't believe me, read your Bible. The most wonderful expression of God's commitment to us comes in the name that we use during Advent and Christmas for Jesus, Emmanuel. Emmanuel literally means God with us. And that's what we know to be absolutely true. No matter what happens in our lives or in the rest of the world, God will be with us. Christmas proves it. Well, finally, a prophecy also always comes with a challenge for God's people. Because things are so messed up, because God has a vision for life on earth that transcends time, and because God has an ironclad promise to us in the person of Jesus Christ, God calls us to live lives that reflect God's unconditional love. John the Baptist said it in no uncertain terms. Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. God offers us a life transformed by the love of Jesus, if only we will listen and respond. Listen to the message of the prophets, a vision, a promise, and a challenge. O come, Emmanuel. Amen.